The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Well, I tell you, I'm fine. I didn't need to imagine dragons. I saw them all on Game of Thrones.
Oh gosh.
I'm still in recovery, Rolene.
Gosh, I'm now like the other one. Hilton's laughing. Sasha's laughing.
We've been trying so bad to get him to watch.
I'm like the only person in the whole world. Although no, there were one or two of our listeners that came out in support of me because they too haven't watched Game of Thrones. But I feel like we're missing out on a whole cultural thing because there's a whole language that gets developed. I noticed Sasha and Hilton having a conversation that I don't understand about nationalities and people and languages and all sorts of things, and I just don't get it.
Well, my Hebrew sometimes resembles Dothraki or Valyrian.
That's what I mean. So I don't understand what you're saying right now. But Sasha and Hilton are finding you very, very funny, and I don't even know why. So there we go. This is the problem. All right.
Be part of the movement, Howard.
Right.
Be part
exactly. I am resisting.
We'll get him to watch it all by next season. Don't worry.
Right. Exactly. A particularly unfunny nation, Switzerland, has cancelled their funding to the Palestinian NGO because of terror ties. Well, good morning, Switzerland.
Well, exactly, and kol hakavod to the team at NGO Monitor who have exposed this, but the Swiss Foreign Ministry announced that they are suspending funds and support for a Ramallah-based NGO called Human Rights International Humanitarian Law Secretariat. I mean, I think that just funds should be suspended for the grammar and the length of the name alone. But basically, the organization has failed to cut ties to terrorism, and this made a report in Sunday's Swiss newspaper Sonntag Zeitung. And Gerald Steinberg, who is the president of NGO Monitor, says that this is an important first step in NGO funding accountability and reflects the recent legislation on this issue. And Switzerland seems to be following some of the Nordic countries who have also suspended ties to various Palestinian-based NGOs. And they say that in stopping their payment to the Women Affairs Technical Committee, I mean, these names are so ambiguous that they are following the other countries, and they are holding back an annual budget of $4 million. And they say that the number of recipients that have benefited from funding are affiliated with the PFLP, which is a terror organization.
Yeah, we had, what was her name? Leila Khalid. Wasn't she involved with them, or isn't she involved with them?
She was involved with them, and so was Rasmia Odeh, who was recently deported as recent as last Thursday from the U.S. after they discovered her terror ties. So it
you
looks
see,
like
the difference.
The chickens are clucking again.
Well, not here in South Africa. Leila Khalid was welcomed with open arms. Unfortunately, they had to put down the Kalashnikovs when they did it. Can you tell me a little bit about can you tell me a bit about Al Jazeera? What is going on in that with Israel and Al Jazeera?
Well, this is quite fascinating because a story's just broken. In fact, it's the front page of the Jerusalem Post, a story by Seth Franzman. And a former Al Jazeera bureau chief, I mean, that is pretty serious. Their bureau chief, who was based in Cairo, has come out and said that Al Jazeera basically is a weapon used against the neighbors of Qatar, and that he doesn't blame Israel. He says Israel is rightfully taking a tough stance against the Qatar-based network because it practices using very, very unethical methods. He says that he was imprisoned because he spoke out against the Muslim Brotherhood, and there was a group of Muslim Brotherhood students in the same jail, and they told him how they were involved in organizing protests and filming them, and their footage was the footage that was being aired on Al Jazeera. That is not actual proper journalism. I mean, it looks like the lid has been blown, and they are basically guilty of fake news. And he says that Al Jazeera were dealing with groups that were banned and were designated as terror organizations. And he was put in prison for being sympathetic to Morsi, and this was not liked very, very much by Al Jazeera, who was sympathetic towards the Muslim Brotherhood. And Al Jazeera was targeted for closure by the Morsi government in July of 2013, and this is all coming out now.
Do you think that this will be taken up and reported by mainstream media? Obviously not Al Jazeera, but, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier with David Efion, and of course he's from the editor of the Algemeine, and he was talking about that imam in California that is saying the most terribly vile and anti-Semitic things. Israel or Jews are training ISIS, etc., etc. And media, general media, hasn't taken it up because it's coming from the so-called left. Are we going to see this reported across mainstream media, do you think?
You know what, I'd like to see it reported across mainstream media, but I don't think that we're going to. You know, Al Jazeera is a state-funded broadcaster, Qatar-based, advertised on a lot of Western networks. We've seen with CNN, you know, Qatar Airways and a few other major international broadcasters. So I don't think they're going to want to anger Qatar. But Mohammed Fahmy, who is the former bureau chief, says that he has launched a $100 million lawsuit against Al Jazeera. And he says that before he agreed to take the job for Al Jazeera's English channel, he had very clear conditions about being independent and not sharing content on the Arabic channel specifically. He says because they were so clearly biased towards the Muslim Brotherhood. And he says what happens was they would take the English content and rebroadcast it, but they would dub it and they would broadcast it on illegal channels. And he confronted them. He said, are we operating legally? Because they had actually set up their broadcasting transmission studios from the Marriott Hotel. And they said, yes, yes. No, we're definitely legal, but it turns out they aren't. So he says that when the Morsi government came into being, he, along with two of his colleagues, were arrested and they were accused of conspiring with terrorists and operating without licenses. And he was put in a prison cell with members of ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood.
What I find fascinating, as you're saying this, I'm completely, I wouldn't say shocked, because we really did know that there was no balanced reporting from Al Jazeera, certainly on the Arabic stations. But what I find so fascinating is if I listen to South African media, that is often very, very, more often than not, very anti-Israel. To some extent, they've picked up on this, and they're hearing this, and they are repeating this, the lies and the untruths that they're being told over and over again. The reality is that people in the media and people that are professionally in the media will read the story and will know the story, but yet somehow they will still not make the connection and say, hold on a minute, maybe so much of what we've been told over and over again, maybe that's simply not the truth. Maybe Israeli soldiers aren't burning children in Palestinian children in Israel.
Well, you raise a very, 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 very important point, and I think this needs to be exposed as much as possible. You know, we do have groups or rapid response groups that do respond to untruths in the media, but sometimes the battle is just so big, and that is why as many of us as possible need to be responsible media consumers and not stand for this. You know, he says that the Arabic Channel and Qatar use Al Jazeera as a weapon against their neighbors, and English reporters are targets because they don't do the research and they just dub whatever they want and they pass this off as news. So we need to be responsible. I mean, all you need to do is visit some of the Facebook sites to see. I mean, I know I write for Israel Link. It's no secret. You should see some of the comments and invective posted on that Facebook page. And, you know, I urge people to go on and challenge it. But Howard, just to tell you a little story, I remember studying not too long ago, doing a course at UNISA, and international law was part of my course. And when I confronted the extreme bias in a case study which involved Israel, I was told, this is Africa, you are at an African university in Africa, and we are only interested in things from an African perspective. So I think that it starts, you know, where the training ground for journalists begins. And that's a true story. I mean, I can write you a book on my experiences.
Well, what was interesting was I follow some of the Palestinian activists on Facebook and Twitter, etc. And when the Barcelona attack happened last week, the immediate comment coming from one of the people that I follow was, isn't it interesting that just because Barcelona, supports BDS, now they've been attacked. So the obvious assumption there, and what they were saying and said further on in more comments, was that yes, that this attack was obviously orchestrated by Israel.
It's just completely outrageous. I mean, you know, I mean, somebody referred to me the other day as the chief Goebbels in charge, which is so profoundly offensive on so many, many levels.
Can you count the ways?
I mean, as if Occupier Barbie's not enough, I'm now the chief Goebbels in charge. Mm. But some of the conspiracy theories, the lies that come out is absolutely astounding. And, you know, you and I have chatted before that we kind of a little bit torn when it comes to the shutting down of a news network. But when you dig a little deeper and use and see how these news networks can be used as really propaganda tools, and we mean it in the most rustic sense of the word propaganda, they deservedly need to be shut down.
Absolutely. Finally, 1 in 10 Americans find holding a neo-Nazi view acceptable. Surely not.
This is absolutely frightening. You know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks so many horrendous visuals coming out of Charlottesville, and there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and we've discussed it at length, the comments by the Trump administration and supporters and not supporters, but some 9% of Americans say that it is absolutely acceptable to hold neo-Nazi views. And that is the staggering equivalent to about 22 million people. And this was a poll conducted by ABC News and the Washington Post. And a lot of them have said that Trump has been putting neo-Nazis and white supremacists on equal standing with their opponents, which, you know, on further inspection, you can see why he's doing it. Maybe they're not entirely 100% equal, but some of the invective we hear from the ultra-left is pretty much sliding down that route as well. But and a lot of Americans are quite upset that he has condemned what they call leftist agitators. But I think, you know, to me, I always try and look for the silver lining on the cloud. Maybe this exposes in a very roundabout way some of the hate invective that comes from the ultra left as well.
Yeah, it certainly does, and unfortunately there's no shortage of hate, and especially when it comes to Israel and to Jews. Rolene Marks, there we're going to leave it. It's 5:26. We'll chat to you same time, same place tomorrow with the latest in Israel news. That, of course, is brought to you by the Blue Agents.